Good afternoon and welcome to the Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM, the show to encourage, support and help people improve both their working and personal lives through continuous learning. I'm Laura Fitzsimons and I'm a training and presenting coach. So today's guest is of great interest to me. She's a coach herself, a business mentor, an executive coach, and her name is Bernie Tracy. Good afternoon, Bernie. You're very welcome to the Learning Show.
Good afternoon, Laura, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, I know you for many years, Bernie, from when you first started out. We've crossed paths many, many times over the years. So maybe we can, just for the benefit of our listeners, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, Laura, I started my business 9 years ago, and up until then, I always worked for somebody else. So this was my first time to embark on self-employment. So that was in 2005, and when I started out, it was primarily around, one-to-one coaching and offering leadership training around coaching skills, so helping managers or teaching managers how to coach their staff. Now, the business today, while it still kind of encompasses the people development side, i.e. the coaching and the coaching skills training, I also offer business development for companies. In other words, I work with companies to help them grow their business, and this is through mentoring around the whole area of sales and marketing. So what the business has evolved over the years, so it offers, you know, people development programs and business development programs.
Okay, very, very good. So what kind of challenges have you come across in the number of years since you started up?
Well, when I started first, it's very interesting around coaching. Like, coaching is very acceptable now in businesses. But when I started off in 2005, which is, 9 years ago, coaching was considered a fad. It was very, very difficult, particularly in my first year, because, as I said, when you start out in business, you're trying to establish yourself. But I was starting out with what I considered was a fantastic tool. And I used to say to, prospects when I was meeting them, look, if I had these skills when I was managing my own staff, my life would have been so much easier.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
I really believed in coaching. But the thing was is that businesses that I was meeting at the time really had no interest because they considered it a fad. They thought, it will come, it's here today, but it'll be gone tomorrow. So it was really challenging to try to get them to really embrace it at the time.
And how did you go about that then? What steps did you take?
Well, you see, what the way it was, I suppose, in the market at that time was that most of the larger companies were embracing it. And it was normally at a CEO level or director level, and it was all coaching was all around leadership and strategy. And as a result, like the smaller organizations didn't really believe that it would fit into what they were doing, like
into their model,
their middle managers or their supervisors. So they more or less kind of believed that it wasn't really for them. It might be for the larger organization, so it wasn't really for them. But I suppose in terms of from a selling perspective, I mean, it was all around explaining the tools and explaining how powerful they were and explaining again, like, had I had these particular tools, how it would have made my life easier. And like any sales process, you have to really highlight the benefits for the business. But I have to be honest with you, it took a lot of time. I mean, it would take nearly 3 meetings sometimes to convince people to go with you. I think what they were waiting on was to see, was there going to be take up in the market? But as you know, and I know, because you're a professional coach yourself, that, I mean, it took off to the extent that, it's now considered a given that a manager has coaching skills and has the ability to coach their staff.
Yeah, and that's interesting because we were having a discussion there the other day before, obviously, going on air here today. Mm-hmm. I would reference the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, and I know for a number of years, because I always look at their research papers, they have identified for many, many years, probably 8-9 years, as long as you've been doing this yourself, Bernie, that coaching is one of the key things that managers, leaders should be doing with people because of the great results that they get. So yeah, absolutely. As you said, things have changed, and that does help reinforce it then as well.
No, it certainly does. And what's really changed as well, I remember 9 years ago when I was starting out, and you go into a company, maybe they bring you in to coach someone, and again, this was new for them to bring an external person. You know, they don't mind bringing you in on it, to do training, but when you're bringing them in on a one-to-one, this was a kind of a new concept. And I remember, it was, you know, considered, you know, I'm going to a meeting. They never say I'm going to a coaching or I'm going to meet my coach. But nowadays...
Yeah, that's true. It's changed.
It's like a badge of honour. Oh, you don't have a coach. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'm seeing my coach or I'm working with my coach. So it's really, the mindset has totally changed around coaching, which is great because there's so many benefits of one-to-one coaching.
Yeah. So that leads me on to another question. So why do companies actually call in an external coach?
I think the primary reason is that, you know, when we do group training, and I know you do group training as well, but when mm-hmm. you do group training, it's great for a company. So they could be doing it in-house, or the person could be going on an open program where there are other companies around. And they're great. People come away with good skills to kind of take into the workplace. But when they're at that training, there is no way that they're going to expose any weakness that they have, any fears that they have. They're never going to do it in front of their colleagues.
Yeah,
it's just a no-no because they don't want to show their insecurities, and they're never going to do it in a group training because then the company that they're working for, you know, might get back to them or whatever the case is. So there is this real fear of discussing what the real issues are in an open forum. And the power of the one-to-one intervention is that the person feels that they're in a trusted environment, in that they know the conversation is going to go no further. Mm-hmm. And what they can do is put the fear out on the table. And companies don't like the word fear because they tend to see it as a weakness. But then it's you know, we're all human.
Yeah,
at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have fears, no matter who or where we are positioned in a company. We all have fears.
Of course, and we all have insecurities. Mm. And, you know, when a person takes on a new role, of course they're going to be apprehensive and of course they're going to be fearful because they've never done that role before. So when you have a one-to-one intervention, what happens is that you put that fear on the table and it's out. And once a person verbalizes that fear, it becomes a fear no longer.
Yeah.
It's out there,
yeah.
And say, okay, let's look at this now. So what can we do? How can I help you? Or where do you think we should go with this? And then suddenly it's been up in their head and now it's on the table and they feel much more relaxed about it and they feel that they can say anything and we can work through it to kind of help them to get over it.
Yeah, which is very beneficial.
It really helps
then.
And as I said, companies bring people in if you know, managers are having performance issues with their staff, if they're having problems within their team, they might be only starting out as a new manager, they might have problems with time management, delegation, communication, but the great thing is that the people really embrace the process. The managers embrace it and they don't hold back because they know the benefits of it. And they really, you know, in my experience over the 9 years, I've never had anybody who sat back on the chair and didn't want to be there, because I always say to the client, if they don't want to go, you're just wasting your money. Send them on a group training if they don't want the one-to-one, because they will not get the benefits. But most people see it for what it is and they feel a relief in talking to someone, really. And that's the power of the external coach.
Yeah, very good. So then leading on then, you have a note here about managers needing to learn the coaching skill. And going back to CIPD, that it's really important that managers have that as a skill set. But one of the challenges in the work environment from their latest research was that managers and leaders know that they have to have the skill. However, they're not getting skilled in that area. So what do you do in that space?
Yeah, well, That's very true. That is so true. And organizations, you know, when you look at an organization, when I'm doing the coaching skills program, I always look at first the culture in the organization. Is it a telling culture? So is it that they tell people what to do? Or is it, you know, a coaching culture where they're asking people's opinion? Now, when you have a company that continually tells people what to do, you know, that's not good, because what you have is a downward feedback. And when you tell people what to do, they'll always just do what you tell them to do.
Yeah,
and they will never go any further. However, when the organization starts to change and it becomes more of a coaching culture where people are asked for their views, asked their opinions, and that's when you have, you know, real engagement. And managers, you know, they have to be part of it, because the culture comes from the top. and it permeates the way the senior team communicate. That permeates right through the organization. So what happens is, you know, when you have a coaching culture, managers can, you know, are kind of working with their staff to try to have much more open communication. And we all know, and it's, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but the way you treat your staff is the way that you know, they're going to treat your customers. But when managers learn to coach, to actually understand what it's about, because sometimes they don't really understand it, and sometimes they say, well, I can't be sitting around all day asking.
Yeah, and I often hear that when I'm training, say, coaching skills program with a management team, that I don't have time to coach them. I just tell them to do it, it's quicker. What I'd like to do maybe is come back to that after the song break, Bernie. But first of all, if I can just get you to call out your contact details, that would be great.
Absolutely. It's Bernie at beaconcoaching.ie. And you can contact me through my website. It's www.beaconcoaching.ie.
And that's BEACON.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, great. Well, what I'm going to do is we'll take a quick song break in a moment. So I'll give out the contact details of the show. The email address is thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie, lowercase. So please do send some emails in. We've managed to get some guests even from emails have come into the show. Facebook is /thelearningshow, the Learning Show, all lowercase. And the Twitter handle is @thelearningshow, and that's capital T, L and S. I'm here with Bernie Tracy of Beacon Coaching, so I'll come back to her after the song break, just to pick up on her great information she's giving us on coaching. So we'll take a quick song break now with the Vamps singing Somebody to You. Welcome back to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That was the Vamps singing Somebody to You. I'm here with Bernie Tracy of Beacon Coaching. And before the break, we were talking about downward feedback in the organisation. So Bernie, just maybe you can give me some information on what is the impact on a company with that downward feedback?
Well, it's like a downward communication. And what can happen is, what we were talking just before the break, when we have a coaching culture where people are being asked their opinion, they feel part of the process. So they feel that their views are being taken on board. But when they're constantly being told what to do, what we have is an organisation that's very closed from a communication perspective. And when that happens, the grapevine starts to spread. The rumour machine goes rampant, and people start talking about things, and they start making things up. And this is, you know, when an organisation has a closed communication process, i.e. a telling culture, those things tend to happen. And we all know that rumours, sometimes they can be quite accurate, but other times they're not. And this only adds more to the lack of communication within any business.
Yeah, and it just goes back to the whole communication. And that's a lovely thing about coaching, is you get people to come up with the ideas, get their input, as opposed to that going back telling them. And that's the wonderful thing, and that really empowers people, because though they come up with these different ideas and ways of doing things, and then they see them actually being implemented. And that's what a great way to engage employees. And that's so important in this day and age, to make sure that you do have a certain level of engagement. Very, very interesting. Tell me a little bit then about how it can ease stress. That say a manager or a team leader or a senior manager is now capable, has a skill set to coach. How does that ease their stress?
It really does, because as I always say to particularly say managers that are having performance issues in a company, I always say to them, like, it is your prerogative to ask questions. I mean, the skills of coaching are the ability to be able to listen carefully and question skillfully. And with a manager, like, it is their prerogative to ask questions, particularly around a performance issue, to, you know, what do you think the impact of what you've done is going to have on the customer, or whatever these things. But what can sometimes happen is a manager, you know, when they're having a conversation with someone, whether a person's coming in to complain about another colleague, what tends to happen with the manager is that they've either been at a meeting beforehand and are thinking about that meeting, or they're going to another meeting and they're thinking about the meeting that they're going to, or they've been reading an email and they're thinking about that email. So they're not really listening. So they're not really in that present moment. And there's one thing, and you and I know that, Dora, is you can't fake listening.
No.
People know when they're not being listened
to.
And what can tend to happen, the manager is half listening and they're half thinking about the past, or they're half thinking about the future. And really, they're not in the present moment. And, you know, mindfulness is all the rage now. And it's all about being in the present moment. And if you're coaching And if you're listening, you are right there. And it actually eases the stress, because what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'm just going to concentrate on one thing now. And what you're doing is you're listening to that person. And that can in itself kind of ease your stress, because you're not thinking about your next meeting and you're not worrying about the last one. And you're right in that present moment with that person. And then it becomes from a much more kind of engaging conversation. And when the person feels listened to, it's amazing, you know, because they'll know when you're half listening. You might think that they don't, because nobody really listens anymore. And for your listeners, I would say to you, because everybody tells me that they're great listeners, and I would say to you,
no, we're not.
Phone this evening and say to your partner or your friend, what kind of a day did you have? And I will tell you, within about 2 to 3 minutes, your mind will start wandering. And that's the thing. We don't listen anymore. And that's why we're all so stressed, because we have lost the art of living in the present.
Yeah, and it's true. You're I suppose, juggling so many things in your head at the same time. You're only half listening to what they're saying. And when you say, and you're exactly right, Bernie, and I'm very much, I completely relate to this. When you really listen to what that employee is saying, and sometimes you come and hear stuff and go, oh gosh, I didn't realise that. That's why that was the case, especially around performance, because sometimes it can be very simple. Well, the reason I didn't do was because, it's like, I didn't know that, because you're only seeing one side of things. So when you get that person and you really listen, I can completely relate to you that it does ease the stress, because then you get the full picture. And that's so, so important. Tell me then the benefits for the employee.
Oh, well, there's huge benefits. And I think you alluded to them yourself, Laura, a few minutes ago. I mean, you talk about the whole area of empowerment, and I know a lot of people would talk about empowering and how do we empower. And we're going back to what I just said earlier. When that person feels listened to, they feel valued.
Yeah.
They feel acknowledged for the work that they have done. And there is a source, or a great source, of empowerment that comes from that. They also feel part of the big picture, because when you're using a coach approach, you're asking for their opinion. You're not saying that this is what we need to do here. You're actually asking for their opinion. So they feel like much more part of the bigger vision for the company. And then what also happens, you know, from the employee benefits, is that the culture becomes more open. So they're not fearful of, you know, saying things that, you know, offering their solutions to, or giving their suggestions. And they're also, you know, not fearful of maybe talking to the manager about things that are going wrong. Because when you have a closed culture, people all close up. But then when you have an open culture, or a coaching culture, people then will, you know, pinpoint to the manager where things, you know, could possibly be happening in the future. You know, so there's so many benefits for them. And they, as I said, they really feel part of the company. You know, they feel that their input is valued, and they feel valued, and that is a key coaching skill. People have to be acknowledged and valued for their contribution.
Yeah, and I think that you said about the open culture, that they feel that's a safe environment to actually say things, and obviously not in a critical way, but if they're not, say they can see a better way of doing something, that they actually feel confident that they're able to say, actually, do you know, I think we could probably take a different approach to that.
Exactly.
That there is an open culture, which is really important from a manager's point of view. And I just know, because from going back years ago, as you said, if you knew the skills now, that you've had these skills now, that back in the workplace when we were managing teams, you know, I look back at it, sometimes you think you're coming up with all the great ideas. Sometimes you know your ideas are not great, but you don't want anyone to say that to you. But now the way things have changed, that you have to be more open. And managers have to take on what their staff are saying, because they're the best people. And a lot of times they know more than you. They know if they work directly with clients, customers, etc. So huge benefits from that. So any tips for our listeners, say we have report to staff reporting to them and they want to embrace the coach approach?
Yeah, let me think now. Yeah, I have a really good tip, okay, that because, you know, what's very important, when a manager's having a conversation or having a meeting with someone, I did it myself years ago, we tend at the end of the meeting to say things like, okay, Laura, now just let's summarise what you have to do. So, again, what I'm doing is, I could have been asking you in the course of that conversation and using a coach approach. And now I'm going into telling now. I'm going to tell you what you have to do for me for the next meeting. So what I would say to your listeners, or any managers that are out there, so get the person, get your staff member to recap. So say something like that. You say something like this. Say, Laura, can you just summarise for me what we discussed and what you had to do before our next meeting? So when the person summarises, they're telling you what they're going to do. So when they're telling you that there's more buy-in from them in the process, so just remember, don't summarize the meeting. Get the person to summarize the meeting. Or if you're holding a group meeting, don't say, no, let's summarize, you know, ask each individual what they're going to do before the next meeting. Because when they do the recap, then the buy-in is there. Because if you do the recap, they're going to do exactly what you told them to do. So it's best for them to do it because there's more ownership of the tasks as well.
Yeah, which is really important, as you say. It's no point in going through the whole coaching process and then flipping back into that telling. So this is what you do. You do this, you do this. So very much going back and getting the person to say it. I can see some of the challenges in going back to even coaching that I have my own experience of working with management teams is, oh, well, that will take an awful long time. Yeah. However, and just thinking even that space, the way you say it, you get each person to recap themselves what they're going to have to do, what their action points are, et cetera, or development, whatever it is in that session. Okay, it might take a bit of time in that meeting. However, down the road, that's going to save an awful lot more problems. You know, if there's just doing what you've told them to do. So I can that's a really clever approach. I really like the way we've talked about that. Yeah, very good. Any other benefits then of learning coaching skills?
Well, as I said, like, there's benefits for the company, there's benefits for the manager, the stress level, and there's benefits, of course, for the employee around the whole area of feeling valued and recognised. And I often say to people, I mean, I use the coach approach in sales. Like, if you think about it, you're going in to meet a prospective client.
Yeah.
They have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to the whole coach approach. Like, you know, you go in to meet with someone, you know, they have a problem that needs to be resolved. And it's like having a sales conversation. You know, remember I said earlier that the skill of coaching is to listen carefully and question skillfully.
Yeah.
And that's what you do in selling. And I often say in my sales courses, you know, the more talking you're doing in a sales conversation, the less selling that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so the more listening you're doing, the better, you know. And it's the same in coaching. If the coach is continually talking, then there's really not a lot of coaching taking place because, you know, it's up to you to get the person to talk. And so I think it's great for sales. So I call it a sales coaching model because at the end of the day, the client has a problem, you have a solution, you're asking key questions to find out exactly what the problem is, and then you're moving them towards the close, and like the way you would move a coachee towards a goal that they have to achieve. So, you know, sales coaching is having those skills is fantastic for selling as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting to say because when I'm doing a training needs analysis, I was just working with a client there a couple of weeks ago and I had a meeting with them. And I said, well, what is it you're trying to achieve? She goes, well, tell me what you can do. And I said, no, what I need to know is what's your objective? I need to find it exactly, you know, what are your challenges? What's causing you, you know, what's causing you those challenges? And it was very much, I needed to hear from her perspective. I said, only when I know what you're looking for and where your challenges are, then I can map something in around and provide a solution. Otherwise, I could be giving you a solution that's not actually going to help you at all. So I can understand where you come from around the whole sales approach. So maybe just before we wrap up, Bernie, you can maybe you might come back in live into the studio because I'd love to hear how your whole approach to sales coaching. I think that would be a really valuable interview then to send out to the listeners. Maybe you can do that next time.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to, Laura, because, I mean, sales is just so important for business because, you know, without any sales, you don't have a business. And the thing is that people just have to get better at selling. So I'd absolutely love to share my insights and my own experience of when I started out as well.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. What I'd like to do is maybe, Bernie, just give out your contact details real quickly before we just come to the end of the show. Thank you.
Hey, it's Bernie, Bernie, at beaconcoaching.ie, website beaconcoaching.ie.
Great. Thank you very much to my guest today, Bernie Tracy. Really enjoyed having you and look forward to having you in the studio. Thanks for taking the time out to take the call. Thanks to Mick Hanley for doing sound and Heather McLeod for doing production. Just quickly, the contact details for the show, email thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie, Facebook/thelearningshow, Twitter @thelearningshow. So tune in next week to learn more tips and techniques to improve your working and personal lives. I'm Laura Fitzsimons and thank you for listening to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM.